Today on Doggone History, I'm going to tell you about the most dangerous man in America. At least back in the 1960s and 70s, he was considered the most dangerous man in America. And that man was Daniel Ellsberg. In the 1960s, when the Vietnam War was raging and the peace movement started to get more and more support, people began to worry. Some people in the government began to worry about some of the protesters and what they were up to. And one of the people who was really worried about the people involved in the peace movement was J. Edgar Hoover, the director of the FBI. Now, this guy has his own interesting story, so let's delve into it a little bit so we can kind of understand what's up with the most dangerous man in America, Daniel Ellsberg. J. Edgar Hoover was supposedly a cross-dresser. Now, that's kind of speculation, but there's some pretty good evidence that, you know, he had some kind of psychological issues. He was one of the people who got involved early in the FBI, kind of climbed his way up to the top. But he is credited with some really good things, like he set up some of the scientific methods used by the FBI for investigation. He also, though, used much of the information that he gathered on people. He put them in files, and he basically used it to blackmail people to be able to do what he wanted. He had all kinds of files on all kinds of people. In fact, he had a file on Eleanor Roosevelt, in which, you know, he was keeping track of her and who she was hanging out with, because, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt was the kind of woman who wasn't going to sit in the house and do nothing. She was going to get out and beat the streets and try to help people during the Great Depression. And she had some really close female friends, and J. Edgar Hoover had this idea that, you know, she might have been pitching for the other team, so to speak. And so he was, you know, keeping these files on her so that one day he'd pull this file out when he needed to get what he wanted out of President Franklin Roosevelt, her husband. So that's the kind of person we're dealing with. We're dealing with this man who's, you know, keeping tabs on everybody, keeping secret files, and using blackmail. Yeah, that's what he was doing. And so he's the sneakiest, spookiest guy in America at the time. And I guess he thought that other people were as sneaky and spooky as he was. And so he was really concerned about this peace movement. And so he started to use certain tactics to be able to control these people. He started to try to get information in ways that were actually illegal. He bugged the phone of Martin Luther King Jr., for instance, and listened to his conversation so he could get information and use it against him. He planted rumors, you know, that people were having an affair. And he would, you know, some of his agents would plant this information and they would end up, you know, ruining marriages. These were real things that were going on. Well, Daniel Ellsberg, let's talk about him and how he gets into this equation. Daniel Ellsberg was a person who worked for the RAND Corporation. And he was involved in documentation, and he had access to information. One day, he is in the office, and there is this event that occurs. And it occurs in Vietnam, with the Gulf of Tonkin. And there's this ship, U.S. ship, and it's in the Gulf of Tonkin off the coast of Vietnam, and it claims that it is being fired upon by the enemy forces in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And so they call in, they're like, hey, I think somebody's shooting at us. And the Navy, the people in charge of the war, the military people in the Navy and the military, tell these guys, look, you know, confirm, you know, let's confirm this before we, you know, have a knee-jerk reaction and launch some type of counterattack, and this gets all out of hand. Well, some time passes, and eventually these people on the ship in Vietnam in the Gulf of Tonkin come back and say, oh, hey, wow, I sure am glad we waited a little while to confirm this, because actually we weren't being fired upon and everything's okay. A significant amount of time had passed between the first call-in of, hey, we're getting fired upon, and the second call-in to say, oh, well, we messed up. We really, everything's okay. We're not getting fired upon. In the meantime, this information goes up to the president's office, and President Lyndon Johnson decides that he can use this oh man, I can use this information to get what I want out of Congress, because we got to win this war in Vietnam, and I got to get more money and troops and bombs to set off. So he uses this incident in the Gulf of Tonkin to go before the American people live on TV, tell them that this ship's being fired upon, this is an act of aggression, we need more support, we need more money, we need more troops. Basically, we need to crank up the war effort so we can win it. Congress gives him permission to do so in the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. He gets more money, he gets more troops, he gets whatever he wants, pretty much a blank check to increase the war effort, and hopefully with the hopes that, okay, we're going to win the war and get the commies out of Vietnam and everything's going to be all right. Well, not how it turned out. Daniel Ellsberg just so happened to be privy to this information. And so he hears this and he's like, whoa, I cannot believe that these people are lying about Vietnam. How can this be? This is America. We're not supposed to do that kind of thing. I don't think Daniel Ellsberg been reading the history books that I've been reading. So Daniel Ellsberg begins to think, well, maybe, you know, this is a one-time incident. I'm going to check up on it and see if I can find other problems with the war effort. And he begins to read documents, and his documentation that he gets his hands on, he discovers they've been lying about all kinds of things in the war. We've got lies about how many troops are killed. We've got lies about how many enemy are killed. And he's flabbergasted, thunderstruck, whatever term you want to use to say the man couldn't believe what he was seeing and reading. And he began to copy these documents. He began to copy these documents. I mean, this guy is doing something that's going to get him thrown underneath the jail. He copies the documents. He'll put them in his briefcase. He'll walk out of the building. And he decides eventually, I got to put these somewhere besides my house because, gosh, you know, I can't keep it in my house. You know, they might investigate me and find them. So I'm gonna get a hotel room. So he goes and he gets a hotel room and he starts stacking up these documents. And eventually he has something like 40,000 pages of information proving that the United States has not been forthcoming, fully honest, 100% disclosure of what's going on in Vietnam. He begins to pass this information on to newspapers. And this information becomes known as the Pentagon Papers. In the Pentagon Papers, which are going to eventually be published by newspapers, will tell that the United States government's been lying about what's going on in Vietnam. Daniel Ellsberg will eventually be the person that they point to as the guy who let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And so he, like any whistleblower, they come for him. They come for him with guns a-blazing. And they go, and government officials go hire some guys to break into his psychiatrist's office. Because you can imagine that after, you know, trying to expose the lies of Vietnam and copying these documents and skirting them out through the gate of the past security and putting them in a hotel room, it's pretty stressful stuff. And so Daniel Ellsberg had been seen a psychiatrist, and the government went in and tried to get his psychological records, his psychiatry records, tried to break in and get them. They do all kinds of things. They vilify this guy in the press, and then the government eventually goes after the press, and they try to stop the printing and the publishing of the Pentagon Papers, saying that it is a violation of national security, and we can't let people know what's going on. And so they issued these injunctions against the newspapers, which are court orders to stop printing. Eventually, the case goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court rules the people have a right to know. If it is the truth, the people have a right to know. And Daniel Ellsberg is, you know, he's riding the wave of all of this, and sometimes he's, you know, not on top of the wave, he's getting crashed on top of the wave and getting drug up the beach. I think some of you probably experienced this. And the poor man is just going through it. He's vilified in the press. He is Eventually, he gets so nervous, he has to get rid of the 40,000 sheets of paper, and he puts them in suitcases, carries them out of the hotel room, and gets them into a landfill. The U.S. government eventually tried to go after Daniel Ellsberg and prosecute him, but without the documents, without the proof, they could not have any evidence that he had actually done what he said he'd done. And the press was trying to protect his identity, but they pretty much knew. The government pretty much knew it was him. Eventually, they go to the landfill. They send people to the landfill to dig through and try to find the documents. And they never find the documents, right? Because, my goodness, landfill, gracious. You know, it's a needle in a haystack. Daniel Ellsberg is considered, though, the most dangerous man in America because he took those documents and he proved that the United States government was lying about Vietnam. And this is the first of many incidents where the government will be shown to be dishonest about the war, and it will begin to turn the American people against the war, and they will begin to distrust what the government's saying, and they'll just eventually, you know, there'll be a lot of people just want to get out of there because it has become such a negative campaign. So many things wrong. So Daniel Ellsberg, most dangerous man in America, is the one that tells the secrets of Vietnam. And eventually, those secrets will lead to our getting out of that area. I hope you enjoyed learning about Daniel Ellsberg. I'll see you in the next podcast.